And welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. It is a Monday morning, and we are talking today with Cheryl Collins, Raleigh County Historical Museum Director. Good morning.
Good morning.
And looking forward to this program here. I was looking at my email over the weekend, kind of browsing to see what the topic was here, and we're getting closer to Kansas Day. And so we've got some famous Kansans and Raleigh Countyans you're going to talk about today.
Famous Kansans and some famous Raleigh Countyans. I'll give you a hint. None of them are living.
Okay.
Well. None of them are living?
No.
Okay. All right.
So that's one parameter.
So there's no Bob Dole or Nancy Landon Cassavant.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Well, and just to give people a little background on Kansas Day, the date is at the end of the month. The 29th, is that right?
Yep. January 29th, 1861 was when Kansas went into the Union.
Okay, so we're getting ready to celebrate that here in just a couple weeks. Well, Cheryl, I'll let you get right to it if you want.
Well, the first famous Kansan I have was born May 9th, 1800 in Torrington, Connecticut. He died December 2nd, 1859 on the gallows at Charlestown, Virginia.
John Brown.
Very good. Yes. Well, and of course, he came to Kansas in 1855 to join his sons in the struggle to make Kansas a free state. May 24th and 25th, 1856, he and a band of abolitionists killed five pro-slavery men in Franklin County, Kansas, and that event was known as the Pottawatomie Massacre, as it occurred on Pottawatomie Creek. He, in 1856, participated in a number of other conflicts in Kansas, and then he went in 57 and 58 back east to raise money for guns and arms and support for the anti-slavery cause in Kansas. And then October 16th, 1859, he led an attack on the United States Harper's Ferry Armory in Virginia. He was captured and tried. And, of course, one of the clues I had was a mural of him holding a Bible in one hand and a rifle in the other was painted by John Stuart Curry in the Kansas State House and now is an iconic image of Kansas and a record album cover.
I was about ready to say that, but I'm glad you did that.
Well,
And I don't know why. I would think that John Brown would be an amazing movie.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the guy was, in a lot of respects, a lot of people think of him as a whack job.
Well, he's a problematical figure in Kansas history, I think.
But you know, the impact that he had in the 50s in the state of Kansas, and, you know, and of course, the abolitionist movement
nationally
is remarkable.
Yeah, very remarkable.
And I don't know that there's ever been a movie about him, but I think he would be a remarkable subject for a film.
I don't know of one either, but yes, there's so much action in his life that it really would be a good one. I think it's interesting. I have a personal connection to John Brown.
You do?
Well, sort of. My great-grandfather's name was Henry A. Wise Tracy, and he was named for the governor that hung John Brown because he was born in December of 1859 in Virginia, and I'm assuming that his family thought that hanging John Brown was a good idea. So that's my connection.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Yeah.
So our next one, you've done really well.
Well, I'm one for one.
So far. One for one.
We just got started. So.
One for one is very good. Yeah. So this person was born September 17th, 1862, in Emlington, Pennsylvania. He died July 12th, 1954, in Jackson Heights in Queens, New York. He moved to Dodge City in 1888 to open a medical practice. He was appointed to the Kansas State Board of Health in 1899 and became part-time secretary and executive officer.
Don't spit on the sidewalk.
Yeah, who's the guy?
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
A couple of his mottos that he used in his public health campaigns were swat the fly and don't spit on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. I have a don't spit on the sidewalk brick somewhere.
Ah, good.
I do. Listener brought one in for me some time ago.
Well, this is Samuel Crumbine.
I knew it was Samuel. Yeah,
yep.
Thank you.
So you got a half. I guess you get a half a.
Nope.
Well, he in 1911, he became dean of the Kansas University Medical School. And he left Kansas in 1923 and became executive director of the American Child Health Association. But his campaigns on the fly and not spreading germs through spitting and not using a common drinking cup and banning the common towel that didn't ever get washed. I think had statewide and national repercussions.
You know, he was really a forefather of public health.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't give him that credit. But that's very large in the world of public health.
Absolutely. And it's also interesting, he was the model for the doctor on the movie or TV show Gunsmoke.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was he really?
That's what the Kansas State Historical Society says in their website, so I'll take it for truth.
Okay.
Interesting.
You want to do one?
I'll do one, sure. Let's see here.
Oh, are you asking me or are you asking Cheryl or are we just doing this? It's flying by the seat of our pants Monday.
I have a feeling she probably knows all the answers, so I'll quiz you,
okay.
Dave.
All right, great.
All right, she was born Mary Ellen Ball, July 19th, 1817, in Knox County, Ohio. She died in 1901 in Bunker Hill, Kansas. She moved to Salina in 1867 and ran a hotel and advocated for Civil War veterans to relocate in Kansas. She was trained as nurse in Cincinnati, Ohio, married a man named Robert, and had two sons. Her husband died young, leaving her a widow. During the Civil War, she traveled with the United States Army of Tennessee, nursing the sick, and was present in 19 battles, including Shiloh with Sherman's March to the Sea.
Clara Barton? No?
Nope.
No? Okay. All right. Sorry.
We have a county named for Clara Barton.
The only county named for a woman
that's
in Kansas.
Right.
Except for Cloud County's predecessor.
Oh.
Cloud County was originally named Shirley.
That's
after
right.
A popular local prostitute.
Oh.
Continue, Brian.
Okay. General Sherman admired her to the extent that he asked her to ride beside him as his soldiers marched through Washington, D.C. at the end of the war.
Hmm.
After the Civil War, she became an attorney to help veterans with their war claims.
I got no idea.
And the last clue is the Women's Relief Corps named their Ellsworth County facility for wives and daughters of Civil War veterans in her honor.
Still no idea. It's been a long time since I've been to Ellsworth.
Marianne Mother, is it Bickerdike?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mother Bickerdike.
Mother Bickerdike. Okay. All right.
So no points on that
one. For one and two.
Okay, now
here,
this
let me
one.
Okay, all right.
I think this one is a good one.
Okay.
She was born Mary Clyons, September 11th, 1850, in Ridgeway, Pennsylvania. Although in her later years, she claimed she was born in 1853, so she was trying to shave a few years off.
That. What woman doesn't?
She died October 29th, 1933, in Calicoon, New York. She came to Kansas in 1870 to teach at the Osage Mission. She married a pharmacist, and eventually her family settled in Wichita. By 1890, she was a well-known and often quoted populist, activist, and lecturer. And she was perhaps best known for exhorting farmers to raise less corn and more hay.
No idea.
I grew up in Wichita, so I know
okay.
this one. This
right.
is Mary Elizabeth Lease, who was also known as Yellin' Ellen.
Yellin' Ellen, okay.
She was a fiery advocate for farmers during this populist era and was a great rousing speaker.
You know, I take a lot of pride in my Kansas knowledge, but, you know, I'm...
Well, you know,
one
of the things is Kansas has more stellar Native sons and daughters, I think, than practically any other state in the Union. In fact, I've been shocked sometimes to see the paltry list that some states have to trot out as their famous famous people, because Kansas has so many really, really important and interesting people to have on our list. So it makes it harder for mm-hmm. Kansas.
That it does.
All right, yeah, I'll do another one here. She was born January 25th, 1810, in West Townsend, Vermont. She died January 11th, 1885, in California. She came to Kansas in 1854 and settled in Douglas County. She attended the Kansas Wyandotte Constitutional Convention and lobbied for women's rights and suffrage to be included. She succeeded in getting into the Constitution women's rights and child custody, married women's property rights and equality in matters pertaining to public schools. After her husband died, she moved to Wyandotte and became associate editor of the Quindaro Chindawan, an abolitionist newspaper. And she worked with Susan B. Anthony, Lucy Stone, Olympia Brown, and Elizabeth Cady Stanton during the 1867 Kansas Women's Suffrage Campaign, which was unsuccessful.
We're learning a lot here today, folks. No idea.
No idea. It is Clarina Nichols.
Would not have been able to get that in a million years.
There's a great biography of Clarina Nichols out. Okay. And Manhattan Public Library does have it. She really was a fascinating character, and an advocate for equal rights for women and also votes for African Americans.
Now, you brought a book in with you that has a lot of biographies about a bunch of famous Kansans. That's a book I hadn't seen before.
This is a great book, John Brown to Bob Dole.
Okay.
And it's the subtitle is Movers and Shakers in Kansas History, and it's edited by Virgil Dean. It has a series of essays by historians about famous Kansans and or important Kansans. Jim Shiro, professor of history at K-State, mm-hmm. has one of the essays. And they're fascinating. They go into greater detail with people's lives. Manhattan Public Library does have this book, I believe, so it can be checked out.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Are we done with trivia? Are you done humiliating me in front of a vast listening audience? I thought, no, maybe I knew a few things about the state of Kansas.
Well, those are our famous Kansans. And,
okay.
And I'd be interested in some thoughts on other famous Kansans that come to you. People that you think would be influential in Kansas history.
In Kansas history?
Yeah.
I tell you what, let's talk about that after the break.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Easy enough?
Now we'll continue with In Focus after this. News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning News is sponsored by ESB Financial, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Resolve to begin 2019 with a fresh start for your financial future. ESB Financial, our bank is big on you.
Ever wanted to speak another language? Babbel can get you